Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Chantel Du,
Jonah Du,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
Katie Pills,
and Ryan Pills
in the house.
Singular. I am so excited. Yeah, singular. Love it. Happy Memorial Day, a week late. Today we got to celebrate together, which is fantastic. First time in months that we've actually had the opportunity to hang out in one place, even if we were 6 feet apart, eating some watermelon, having some fun, playing some board games. So excited to see everybody here. Excited for this episode. I don't even know where to begin. Someone say something awesome.
We've been playing games. Well, we should give a little highlight. Later in the episode, we'll have a special guest, a couple guests.
A couple?
But, yeah, look forward to some information from Bezier Games with Matt Ryan in the house. So yeah, we'll talk about some really awesome games coming down the pike. But we did play at least one game all together.
Yep. I think we got one to the table that everybody got to play. That was Paranormal Detectives from Lucky Duck Games. That was really interesting. I hadn't played that one yet. I think I cheated a little bit, as usual.
Yeah, that's normal. That's normal.
It's about normal, yep.
Chantel, what did you think of the game?
Of course, Chantel got to play once.
Right, you have the most limited experience in the game. We'll start there.
I did have the most limited experience. No, it's all good. I think by the time that it got to my turn, everyone had kind of already guessed or figured out who the suspect was or how, you know, the person died. And by our second go around, I think I was trying to guess Red Riding Hood for some reason
because it's not a fantasy game.
Correct. It's not. But it's just the clues were forest, shotgun, a woman with a basket. I mean, come on, Red Riding Hood is all over this.
A hunter.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it's a really cool game. I had to, everyone had to continually remind me that this is not a cooperative game because every time a clue was given, I would shout out, oh, that's what it is. We're not working together, Chantel. Yeah,
this is a competitive deduction game where one player plays as the ghost and lots of different materials that the ghost can use, and the players are asking the ghost questions and basically give them a card on what material they'll use to answer that question.
So, yeah, it may be that you're asking a question about the weapon, but the card that you use says that the ghost can only use the tarot cards to lay it out a couple cards to give you a guess to that weapon. Or maybe the ghost is drawing on your back or using your hand to draw a picture but can't lift the pen off of the page. So really interesting types of ways to get these clues.
Yeah, it's not that far out, but it really did take a while for me to calibrate my thinking. It's like, what exactly am I doing here? I asked the question, why did this murder happen? And I played the card where the ghost had to use my hand with a pen in it and move my hand around to draw why. And Kevin actually did a really good job.
It was a good drawing, man. I was impressed.
Really was.
Without pulling my pen off the page, he drew what looked like a car accident or road rage or something. And the idea was it was an accident that it happened. So
it's the best I could do.
I liked it. One of the twists I like on this game is that it's not specific. Like, there's not a Colonel Mustard with a knife. Like, it's a story that's written on the card, and you have to guess those specifics, but it could be anything. Like, there's no limitation to it's either a rope, a knife, a gun. Like, it could be anything. In fact, the one that I played was a heart attack from a surprise birthday.
Spoilers to everyone who hasn't played.
Or Paranoid.
Just don't use those cards. There's lots of stories.
That's right. There is a big deck of cards.
And if you're drawing on someone's back, apparently only no one else can see what it is that ghost is drawing on the person's back. So no peeking.
I'm a pretty expressive drawer. I'm sorry.
Did he give you chills as...
Did it feel like a ghost?
No, I was totally confused. Oh.
See, Kevin gave me chills by touching my hand with his very cold hands.
I had very cold hands at the time. It's I think I was holding the water, my water or something.
Speak, apparition.
Ryan's like, oh, ghost, where, why did this happen to you? I'm like, ooh.
We were all a little creeped out.
So if you actually want to watch this actually being played, check our YouTube channel because it's part of our 12-hour charity gaming marathon that happened just a few days ago on our YouTube channel. So Paranormal Detectives is one of the games we're playing.
Yeah, we played a bunch. We actually haven't done it in real life yet, but go back and check that out. We're going to play all day on Friday from 12 p.m. to 12 a.m., and we've put a schedule out there so you can, in real time now, you can fast forward to whichever games you want to see us playing. We're going to play with the audience. We're going to be giving away a bunch of prizes. Sorry that you didn't get those, unless you were there live, and then that's awesome.
Yep.
While we were playing Paranormal, though, Jonah was playing some games. What were you playing?
I was. I got out an old classic, one that... It's so good. Got to make it to my top 5, top 10 list, and Kevin still won't play. I asked him. He said he wouldn't play. At War Chest.
No, yeah. You played War Chest?
I sure did.
Yeah, I so want to play that game.
So got around to War Chest in. Luckily, was able to win. So
nice.
Keeping my streak going on that game. And so I wasn't able to play Paranormal Activity with everybody. They sounded such like a good time. They just left me out. So.
That's right. Maybe tune in on Friday. You can play some games.
Okay, cool.
Melissa and I were able to play a couple games this past weekend. We played Pictures, which was on our we showed that off on our Saturday morning board game show, a grid-based game that's sort of like Cranium meets Concept meets Codenames. So,
yeah, and it is a Spiel des Jahres nominee. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to give it a try. It's actually sort of party game-ish, but maybe one step up. It only plays 5.
Right, and actually might have to include like a little bit like Paranormal Detectives because people are using like different kinds of material to basically give clues to the picture that they're trying to represent. So, forgot about that.
Yeah, one of the materials is 2 shoelaces that you have to use to make these pictures. Another one is rocks and sticks. Mm-hmm. Another one is blocks.
They actually come with rocks and sticks.
Sticks and stones are in the box.
The actual rocks?
Yes.
And actual
like
sticks.
Smooth like smooth river rocks. Tumbled.
Yeah. Pull them out of the driveway.
That was a cheap component.
There's actually a list in the rule book of materials you have to go get. No, I'm kidding.
That's the first challenge.
A scavenger hunt while you're playing.
That's right. We also played Mansions of Madness over the weekend, which is an old classic. This is a co-op adventure story-based game where we were trying to find different ingredients to a not a potion, a what would you call it? An
elixir.
Yeah, an elixir to
totally different.
Yeah, whatever. To help stop what was happening, and we barely won. But yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was the Streets of Arkham expansion, one of the stories in that.
Yep. Well, we have gotten to play a few games recently. We actually came over to record some stuff at the Meadows house, and the power went out randomly.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We got to play The Mind Extreme.
Extreme.
Yes. And we got in maybe a couple levels before the power came back on. We're like, all right, wait, we got to do this video real fast.
Yeah. We called in the middle of it, and it seemed like you guys were doing really well.
We were.
Distracted
by Kevin's phone call.
We did really well on that one while Will was distracted, but as soon as Will started paying attention, it went downhill.
It was interesting. I have never thought of, like, I've always played the mind, like, gauging what other people are doing and, like, trying to figure out how fast they're going to go. I'd never thought of, like, well, I could just count in my head, and when I reach this number, play it. So
That's pretty much how I play every time.
Except for in The Mind Extreme, you have 2 piles, and one is counting up and the other is counting down.
Yeah. And it's hard to both count up to 50 and down from 51, but
serious skills if you could do both at the same time.
Yeah. That seems very crazy. I've only played The Mind once or twice, but every time that I've played it, I felt like I did such a great job. So one pile going up and one pile going down seems impossible.
At the beginning of the game, it actually seemed a little easier because I was like, oh, I have a 45 and an 11. I know, you know, play this one real quick on the going down pile. I got time on the going up. But if you had more cards in your hand and you're trying to watch both piles, yes, it would get insane. I think we only made it to like level 4.
Yeah, yeah, I think we bombed level 4.
Then the power came back on. We had to actually get some stuff.
I could tell we were going to win.
The first time someone explained the rules of the mine to me, I thought, oh, this is just impossible. Great. This is not going to work. How are we going to be able to do this? But after playing it, it was pretty good.
Yep. There's some fun stuff in there. Well, let's give a quick shout out to our sponsor before we move any further.
This episode is sponsored by Bezier Games. They have a ton of cool games coming out this year, and we're going to hear about some of them in our interview with Matt Ryan.
So let's jump over and answer the door, because I think Matt is here.
Hey! Hey, guys. How we doing?
We are so good. Thank you, man, for joining us. We have kind of an annual tradition going on at this point. Matt has been chilling out with us for the last couple years, kind of making an annual trip through town and showing us some of the coolest, newest stuff that's coming from Bezier. Thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us.
Oh, anytime I get to eat pizza, I'm in.
Right? Ah, Donato's.
And not just any pizza. Right?
The Donato's shout out.
Pizza.
We got to get them as a sponsor on the show soon.
We should.
Donato's? Because Bezier is already a sponsor.
right. Both. We got to get both. We got one.
I
got
to get Donato's to sponsor Bezier too, I
Boom.
Guess.
Boom.
Yeah. Just free pizza all around.
New York Slice. There we go.
That'd be nice. So good.
Donato slice expansion.
They'd be square pieces.
Yes.
Instead.
Yes. Yeah.
Bam.
Yes.
We've got this.
Only people who know Donato's will understand this. I'm sorry.
I just got so excited.
So normally Matt's here like February, March. It was a little later because we're doing the social distancing thing.
Right. Trying to keep it clean. Did a little extra house cleaning. And we've only got half the crew here for the interview. The rest of the crew will be jumping in. It'll sound like they're here for the whole episode, but we'll be hanging out with them and getting to show them some of the cool stuff that Matt has been showing to us.
Yeah. So it was a great afternoon playing games. It was very nice weather. It was supposed to storm and the storms held off. So we played out on the deck outside.
Yep.
And we got to see the new stuff coming out from Bezier.
Yeah.
Kevin knows the names of those because he wrote them down. Mega Magneto Trail of Awesomeness.
This is all we don't let Will talk.
I thought you were going to say like Magneto, but I'm glad that you're at least close.
Yeah, he See, stays I'll away from IPs there. Maglev Metro.
Yeah.
From Bezier. And that is a design from Ted.
Yeah,
Ausbach.
Direct. What Ted Ausbach designed.
Yeah, the CEO, president of Bezier.
Also designer of Suburbia and Castles. So yeah. You know that you got something good.
And it was fantastic. It was very solid game. Melissa, do you want to kind of describe what the game is like?
Well, it has a little bit of a pick up and deliver aspect to the game because you are building these routes with your maglev tracks, I guess, to different stations, and people have to build stations, and then they populate with commuters, and you're going to these different stations to pick up the commuters, and then you have to take them to the places they want to go, and you only have a certain number of actions. But a cool thing is, as you pick up these commuters and drop them off, you put them on your recessed player board to then
After you pulled them off the recessed main board.
Yes. And then you put them on your player board to either make your actions more efficient or to unlock new things that you can do. So there's a lot of choices to make with which color commuters you pick up and then where you put them on your board to be able to then do new actions or more powerful actions.
Yeah, pick up and deliver engine building game because you're definitely building your engine. You have two actions, like Melissa said, and you have so many different actions to choose from, but I don't feel like it's not that hard to figure out what you need to do, because if you're going to go pick up people, that's going to take an action. You can't drop them off yet until you pick them up. So it sort of makes logical sense what your actions need to do or need to be before you do them. So.
And you have those gold cards to kind of guide you for which ways you want to go. You have to be able to pivot because there are so many different things that can occur. But that's one of my other things I like is those gold cards that really you get to choose which ones you want to score at the end.
And I really liked the gold card.
Yeah. I bet you did.
In the game, you get dealt 4 gold cards, but you have to actually kind of unlock those. So you've got to assign your passengers to those spots as
commuters,
well.
Commuters.
And then as you do it, you get the ability to use and score more of those cards at the end of the game. That was definitely the route that I went for. And I think I was able to score 3 of my cards
Mm-hmm. And I left everyone else in the dust.
You did. It was, I think your score was like 54. The next score was like me with like 37. So
yeah,
I was, it was a 17 point swing.
Yeah, it was very cool. I enjoyed it a lot. Some of the components for the game are really cool because you've got not only these, I assume they'll be wooden meeple tokens. Mm-hmm.
You have the wooden meeples. Absolutely.
You also have plastic trains that they go
plus in. Plus metal at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. With a metallic bottom. They yeah. won't actually be magnetic, but they will have a metal bottom.
But people could put magnets in them.
As I will. And then the tiles that you're using for the trains are actually transparent tiles with your line on it so that as you overlap other people's tiles, it looks more and more like a normal subway map. So
that was cool.
When you finish the game, you've got this really cool map of, we played New York, and you've got, you know, stations all over the place, and you've got everybody's rail lines going different ways. You can only use your lines in the game, mm-hmm. but the stations that other people build, you can pick up commuters at those locations if you connected it with your track.
Speaking of Manhattan, New York, that's the one map. There's another map that we didn't play.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Berlin. And like Sarah saw, she pointed out all the places she'd seen.
I was like, hey, I've been to this station in Berlin. Thank you, Tina, for taking us.
So the base game's going to include like a double-sided board?
It'll be a double-sided recessed board. So both sides will have the recesses for nice. The stations. But one will be Manhattan and the opposing side will be Berlin. So you'll start out with two maps to play automatically.
That's cool. So yeah.
I really liked what Will was saying about being able to stack the tiles on top of each other, so it's not like if someone builds in this hex, I can't build there. It's not a blocking aspect.
Right.
So there's other things that people can do,
like
to mess
stealing
you up.
Computers,
the silver ones that I needed.
Yeah,
Kevin kidnapping passengers on a train.
I didn't really need
them hostage.
I totally did. They were just robots.
Yeah, they're robots anyway. It's fine.
But yeah, it didn't feel like mean, really, because you could still build your tracks in all the places.
Oh, it felt mean.
With Kevin picking up passengers.
There was no one else to go to. I was like, oh, Will's winning. I'll just go over this way.
But no, I do agree that you can kind of go on your very own specific plan, and like the optimization is going to depend primarily on how well you played the game. Very little thwarting of other people's activities. Did you intentionally know that those silver ones were I needed, or was that just that was the next stop?
I didn't know
that
you actually needed them. I knew that there was no other commuters really available at that time because right. you actually have to take an action to
refill
the different stations. And I was like, oh, I'll just go over there, get them. Maybe I can use them somehow. I felt the game was getting close to an end. Will really needed them to actually like complete one of his rows.
Right.
Didn't know that.
Yep.
But I then actually dumped them off later.
That was the part where I was like, you didn't even use it. You just stole them.
Just leave them somewhere else.
So, yeah.
There's people really confused. They got on the wrong train. They're like, I don't know where I am.
They were definitely tourists in Manhattan, and they had no clue what was going on.
Right. It was me and Sarah.
It was.
Oh, we should probably get off now.
In Germany, we had Tina with us, so we didn't take any wrong turns.
Was it Gareth? Somebody was lost.
Yeah. So this, in Essen, we were lost.
We played a four-player game. It took us probably an hour and a half to play. Is that
with learning?
Yeah, for the first game. Yeah, that's about
I would say we could probably get that down to a little over an hour. But I mean, it's definitely a full Euro game, so it's definitely going to be an hour.
It just depends on how long I take for my turns.
That's right.
Yeah, and I think we definitely held it out longer, right. trying to score more points. There was one of the end game conditions is just building all of the stations, and we had one that we could have built much earlier in the game, and we just decided not to.
I don't think we said this, or maybe I just missed Melissa. You're actually pulling these commuters from a bag, so there's a lot of replayability and suspense that's going into the game as you're like, I hope I pick this color that I really need out of the bag as you're refilling. So I don't know if you guys felt that.
Right, because
I would say Melissa probably got more frustrated because I think she pulled yeah. more of the wrong ones out. She's like,
I definitely pulled ones that I
you guys were helping me out.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I hadn't upgraded my board to pick up certain types of commuters, and that's what I was pulling
out.
But
that's good to know for your next game. So
yeah, I couldn't pick up pink or red, and I kept pulling pink and red out of the bag.
Yep. So this game is coming out fall of 2020, maybe around October-ish time.
Mm-hmm. Yep, gunning for around October-ish. I mean, everything's a little fluid right now,
right.
It may change, but that's what our goal is.
So this is going to be a great gift for Christmas for your family and other gamers that you give gifts to. We also got to play a game of Silver, but not just any game of silver coin.
And not just any game of silver coin.
We played the
2v2
what?
Player rules.
The new rule variant that doesn't even exist yet?
Yeah.
I love it. Spoiling stuff.
Yeah, so that's going to be coming out down the road. So we still don't have it all polished out, but I wanted to give you guys a really cool sneak peek of something that we're trying to work on behind the scenes.
Awesome.
So you're going to listen to this in past tense, but we might play this live, the team version live.
So join us Friday for
it's
our...
too late.
Oh, I hope you joined us Friday.
Go back and watch.
That's true. Tune into the 6 hour... No, I don't even know what hour it is.
Hour.
Well, no, I mean at the hour of six.
I don't know
if that's true.
Yeah, it'll be right around the 6 hour mark.
We'll be playing... We'll have already played Silver, probably 2v2. Interesting little twist on the rules. I'm sure there'll be some more additional changes that'll come with the final version of the game, but really neat concept to be able to team up with somebody else. To only do minimal table talk.
Whoa. I'm fine with Will table talking because I think it actually worked as Sarah's
It did. It did.
That was amazing. He hinted to something to Melissa that would have really helped Melissa.
I'm going to replace this card and not the other
card. That was the right one.
Yeah. And then Sarah's like, oh, okay.
I have this 11. I'm going to replace it with the other one.
That was an amazing play, Sarah. I love it.
It was terrible.
I like the one where Kevin moved everything around and then Will just moved everything right back.
Yes. Oh, wow.
That was also a beautiful turn.
That did help me for this round, too, to make sure that that zero card stayed face down for my in my village. Yeah. I think this gives Bezier a whole new sort of like area to like experiment in with this team play with future iterations of Silver. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I'm excited about that.
A lot of things coming out to support it and make it super engaging and fun, because I know that you guys are big fans. I'm a huge fan. So anything we can do to get more people on board and playing, I'm all about it. And like I would, like Sarah said earlier, I'm a big Euchre fan, Midwesterners here, so Euchre's our jam. So yeah, I always like any game where you can work with somebody else.
Now, what information can you tell us, Matt, about additional letters coming down the pipe?
There's 26 letters
in the alphabet remaining.
Yeah, so I already revealed to you guys what the next one is. You guys, I'm sure, will get a release when you can talk to everyone about it. But coming down the road, we're trying to release stuff that supports what we're doing already and cards that mix into what exists already really, really well. Because we know that a lot of the characters and cards we have are a lot of fun and they mix together already. So we're trying to think of things to really shake things up. So that's our goal with continuing into the alphabet is to figure out things that can thematically make sense as well as are engaging and fun.
Sweet. And before we move on, our Kickstarter is currently live.
Right?
That's right.
So I want you to know right now we have a promo from Bezier Games for Silver. It is the number 5 card. It's the cat.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to check that out.
And this pack can be played with any of these Silver games. You can switch out the 5 cat for another set of 5 in your game.
And who doesn't need a nice cat for their Silver game?
I mean, that's right. Definitely.
All right, so we haven't played. You had one other game in the box.
I do.
Do you want to give us a preview of what's coming for that in just a second? Because we're gonna finish the episode interview, and then we're going to jump into that game.
Yeah, tell us about Whistle Mountain.
Yeah, so Whistle Mountain. And I know that you guys know Whistle Stop because I came 2 years ago and played it. But yeah, it's from Scott Caputo, the same guy who designed Whistle Stop. He got with Luke Laurie, and they designed Whistle Mountain. And it's been a long time coming. It's been maybe a year and a half that we've been working on. It's been a long time. But it's very different from Whistle Stop. I'd say the most similar characteristic it has to Whistle Stop is it feels like there's so many different ways to win. There's so many dynamic choices you can make to still achieve victory. But you're building machines in a valley. And as you're building machines and scaffolding in its valley, it starts to flood. And so as it starts to flood, you're going to try to get the most resources and get your workers out and collect all the things you can to try to win with the most victory points. So at the end, when the end game triggers, it has this really, not like rushed feeling, but you know, they're like, there's only a handful of turns left. So you're really kind of like when you called it out in Maglev, you're like, I'm going to end this game in this many turns. You feel that end coming and you're really like, I got to do one or two more things. I have this one more move I want to make. Which I really, really like in games.
Sweet. Can we just try that one out? What's the development process? Like, where is that? Do you have an estimated
date? So the one
date?
We're breaking out is actually our final prototype production. So the The manufacturer has sent us this to approve, and if it's approved, then it's going to be ready to print. But it will still not be out till around the Gen Con time when it was supposed to be. So okay. Maybe Gen Con online or possibly in that time realm.
Because they need to print it and ship it and get it here, distribute it. Whew.
Yeah, getting on those, there's so many boats, but they're all backed up. So we got to wait our turn.
Makes sense.
So that's about August time frame for people who don't know when Gen Con is, just off the
memorized
top of their head.
On their calendar. Yeah. So end of the summer, you can check that out. I know we played games, but what everyone really wants to know is how's the family? How's the baby, the new baby?
Oh my gosh, she is the sweetest thing ever. She makes the weirdest sounds, and it just cracks me up. Like all these like weird sounds. You're like, what was that? Is the fridge creaking, or like is something weird? And it's like, no, it's just this baby making a weird screamy noise.
Months old.
Yeah, 5 months, and whenever I'm on headset or on my Skype meetings, everybody always thinks she's the cat. Because sometimes she's and you're like, was that the cat? No, that's the baby.
What's her favorite game so far?
Peekaboo, okay. For sure. She's an expert at it. She can play it with you, and you can play it with her. But nice. She holds a little burpee cloth over her face. It's adorable.
Nice.
I haven't got her any really gaming stuff, but they have this like D20 that's like fluffy. I was thinking about getting her one of those just to start her down the right path.
Do you guys
that's
have a stuffed werewolf? Is that a?
Oh, yeah, I got a plushy werewolf, but the cat has claimed it as hers. Oh, so sorry. If the baby messed with it, the cat would probably not be happy.
So you mentioned Gen Con, Origins Online. What are you guys going to be at some of these online conventions? Where can we find you and people can play the games?
Yeah, so we're going to participate in all the online conventions, Spiel Digital, Gen Con Online, Origins Online. We're going to be participating in at least the same capacity we would at a show. So definitely have an exhibit section featuring some good deals, showing what's new and coming out. And we're always online immediately ready to answer questions, but we'll be available through the Origins and Gen Con sites to answer questions there as well. Outside of that, if you have any questions or want to pre-order things, you can actually go to beziagames.com, and all of these titles are available for pre-order now. And actually, if you order Silver Coin and you join, we have a Wolfpack program that's $5 a year. But if you do that, you get free shipping, and Coin will ship to you immediately. You don't have to wait till next month.
Nice.
That's very cool. So Coin will be available next month. Maglev, you said Gen Con?
No, that's Spiel.
In October.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then
Whistle Mountain in August.
Sweet. Cool stuff. So
we're going to have to write down the fridge for a while.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I'm just thinking
he doesn't worry about
if
it.
If you join the club now, that's quite a bit of savings over the course of the year, which is fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. It's $5 a year. You get free shipping. You get 10% off.
Wow.
And then you also get priority pre-orders. So that's what the silver deal is before all the other pre-orders go out, we Wolfpack members get theirs first.
That's cool.
Awesome. Sweet.
It's like a fast pass at Disney. Kind of cool.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
And the Maglev. Isn't that Disney? You guys are Disney inspired. All right. Well, thank you so much, Matt, for hanging out with us and joining us. We very thoroughly enjoyed playing the games. We always love talking to you. We always love Donato's pizza. And and we're looking forward to playing a couple more games. So I think we wrap it up. We say bye, and then we go play some games.
Yeah.
Thanks for hanging out.
Bye. Bye.
Oh, man. I had a blast hanging out with Matt this afternoon. Super cool that he was able to make the trip out and show us some really fun-looking stuff. Very much looking forward to getting Whistle Mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Onto the table and playing that together. We'll definitely put together a playthrough video of that one. And then, man, Magnet Game.
Maglev Metro.
That one was fantastic.
Yes.
Very thoroughly enjoyed it. It does need magnets in it, though.
That's okay.
I feel like that's going to be a requirement. All right. Let's jump from here into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
This episode, we'll be talking about 5 games coming to Kickstarter the week of June 1st, 2020. Start us off, Kevin.
All right. On June 2nd, Inside Up Games is launching City Builder Ancient World. This is a game for 1 to 4 players that takes about 30 to 60 minutes to play. This is mainly a tile placement game, and there's a competitive mode, a co-op mode, and a solo mode. And I was actually talking to Connor, and we're going to have him on as a guest here in a few minutes. But just really briefly, this is where players are magistrates sent to a newly conquered province to build cities and to help spread Roman influence in the area. By employing clever planning, they can grow their cities to meet the demands of incoming settlers, as well as build imposing monuments to please their emperor. And we're going to learn more about this in the interview in just a few minutes. Melissa.
On June 2nd, Pencil First Games is bringing the Whatnot Cabinet. This is for 1 to 4 players, plays in about 30 minutes. It's designed by Dr. Finn, Keith Mateka, and Ed Baraff. And the art is done by Beth Sobel.
It's cool.
And this is a set collection game with a little bit of a tile placement aspect to it. You have a grid on your board, and you're going to be taking actions, and each action is going to result in you taking 2 tiles, but your action will tell you you can add some tiles to the pool and then take some, or you can just pull tiles out of the bag and see what you get. There's about 5 different actions, and the actions also determine your turn order for the next round. So the better actions usually have you going later in turn order. So you have decisions to make about the action you want to take and how late you want to go in turn order for the next round. And you're placing the tiles onto your grid, and you're trying to get certain tiles in rows and columns to satisfy scoring objectives. And there's some scoring that's the same from game to game, but then there are other scoring objectives that vary from game to game. So you have different ones that you'll put out for your specific game. And it's kind of a relaxing game, I would say. But it can get a little tricky.
Oh, yeah. Trying to get the right tiles?
Mm-hmm. Especially if you and other players are going after the same goal. Some of the goals are the first person to achieve it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going too late in turn order, someone else may grab that objective before you're able to get there. It's simple rules, simple things that you're doing on your turn, but still some thinkiness and strategy to how to best get those tiles, the tiles that you need.
And it's cool that it's sort of in the same universe or same sort of realm where Pencil First has Herbaceous and Sunset Over Water, this casual game with this sort of this really cool team with Dr. Finn and Beth and Ed are put together these games. So yeah, Whatnot Cabinet.
I've enjoyed it. Kevin and I played it. Kevin has a preview video available for the Whatnot Cabinet coming June 2nd. Will.
So I'm looking at the game Merchants of the Dark Road, which looks really cool. It's from designer Brian Suri, and it's illustrated by Andrew Bosley and Matt Bosley and Matt Paquette. Really cool looking illustration style. The story basically set up for the game is that in this world, there's light for half of the year, and then the other half of the year is totally dark.
Weird.
Yeah, pretty cool. And so you've got to do all... So you're playing during the darkness, and you are a merchant, and you are traveling through who knows what kind of crazy, situations and scenarios, trying to sell your wares, and you're going to be trying to gain fame and fortune in the game. But at the end of the game, you're only going to score the lower of those two, because what good is it to be famous if you're poor? And what good is it to be having songs sung about you if you're poor? I think that said backwards. Anyway, so you're going to be scoring one of the two lower scores. There's in the center city where you start at, it's light, and there's a rondel action in there. So it's a dice adventure game. You're going to be using the rondel when you're in the city, and then you'll be exploring caverns and forests and different things out in the wilderness, and you'll be trying to sell those wares to potential customers from different areas. It sounds really interesting. It's a like hour to 2 hour game, plays for 1 to 4 players, and it's got a 3.5 weight, so a little bit more complex. I don't know if I mentioned it, but it's coming from Elf Creek Games, and it just looks really sharp. The storyline sounds really fantastic. Some of the writing, just even in like the little descriptions I've seen for the game, just sounds really clever. Like the world that they're building is a very interesting sounding little world. There's definitely some magic going on. You're going to be just exploring different things with the caverns and things. It sounds like you can maybe hire either additional heroes or like maybe animals that are going to help you out as you go throughout the course of your journey. But neat looking stuff. Merchants of the Dark Road. Check that one out on Kickstarter. Sarah.
Latte Throwdown will be coming to Kickstarter from Analog Games.
Shouldn't it be like Latte Throwdown?
I think it's more like Latte
Throw down over here.
This is a dice worker placement set collection game, and you'll be rolling dice and trying to get the right combinations to create very specific designs in your lattes. So there's like the normal swan that you've seen, and a dragon, and hearts, and Rosetta, and things. And this is one that looks like it probably has a lighter weight to it and only plays 15 to 25 minutes, 2 to 4 players. But it's got a lot of fun dice rolling in it and trying to pay attention to what the other players are doing, because they can thwart your designs that you are working on. It says they could spill your milk. So be careful.
The throwdown.
I think that is the throwdown portion. So it's got really nice artwork to it. The scoreboard looks like one of the chalk menu boards that you would see in a coffee shop. So pretty cool. That is Latte Throwdown from Analog Game Studios. Jonah.
Coming to Kickstarter on June 2nd is Die in the Dungeon, coming from...
Don't do it, man.
Yeah, I know. Die in the Dungeon's coming from publisher Fundamental Games, designed by Wesley Woodbury. This game is for 1 or 2 players, plays about 30 to 60 minutes, and it's a dice rolling game that looks like it's got a little bit of tile placement as well. The theme of the game is kind of you're this powerful monster or creature that's actually been kidnapped and placed in a dungeon where you're kind of like the dungeon monster, and you have to make your way out of the dungeon by defeating all the heroes that are in the dungeon. So you're going to, of course, be able to do that by dice rolling. You'll lose the game if you run out of time or run out of health, or, of course, roll a particular set of numbers that tell you you've got to lose the game. It looks, it actually does look pretty good with some of the art and tile placement. Yep. And it looks pretty fun. I mean, if you're into dice rolling games, then it does look like one that you probably should check out. So that is coming to Kickstarter again June 2nd from Fundamental Games, and that is called Die in the Dungeon.
Oh, and we have one more, Open Ocean. That's happening June 1st too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, the surprise. You guys have played this, right?
Yeah,
Will and Sarah?
Yeah, so we did a preview of this one. This is a fun little tableau building game where you are drafting different animals or creatures from the ocean, and you are building your own little ecosystem using coral, and it has super fun artwork. It's one that the rule set is easy enough that younger kids can play, and there's no reading in the game.
Oh, that's good.
But there's a little bit of thinkiness to how you chain things. If you put a small school of fish, larger fish will be attracted to that. So if there are some out nearby in the open ocean, there's a grid of cards that are out in the center. You can attract medium-sized fish to come eat your little fish.
Cool.
And if you place a medium fish, large fish will come and eat them. And you can add them and make your tableau bigger. So... it's got some fun different ways of scoring. There's some different types of set collection and having certain things next to one another. And there are sea anemone that can protect the fish around it, which happens in real life. So very cool, fun little game called Open Ocean from Featherstone Games.
Yeah. I really liked the art style for it a lot. It plays from 1 to 5 players. And it's a pretty quick game, probably like 20 to 30 minutes. It just feels cool to build out your ocean. You do it over like three rounds, and it's a card drafting game, and you build up that tableau, and it looks great on the table for being a small box game when you get done with it. Really pretty stuff.
Well, like I said at the beginning of the segment for Kickstarter Conniption, we have Connor from Inside Up Games in the house. Welcome.
Hey,
man. Thanks so much for joining us. So we all just finished celebrating Memorial Day. You don't do that, do you?
You're not in Canada.
Well, come on. Really? You're going to throw that at me? I work from home. I don't take any holidays.
Oh, well, this is true. I actually...
Connor works 24/7 plus more.
No, man. I felt it too. Freelance is a crazy world. You're like, do I work today or do I not? I don't know what to do.
Why do we have a Canadian on the show right now?
I've been working from home for years, and it wasn't until the current pandemic where I actually went to work a couple times in my pajamas. I was like, oh no, the bar has not been met today, folks.
It got me.
I've embarrassed myself.
Oh man, well, tell us just a little bit about some of the stuff that you've been up to, and maybe even a little bit honestly about how the whole craziness in the world has impacted what you're working on right now.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, there's definitely been an impact. I mean, it hit us way back in January, I guess, from a publisher side of things, just from with China being affected, or all of our manufacturing and freighting partners and whatnot. It slowed them down, kind of threw a wrench into things. So we had a kind of a little foreshadowing what was to come. And then I wasn't, or Inside of Games, or I wasn't really hit until the U.S. started getting shut down. Because although, I mean, we joked about it, me being Canadian, but the U.S. does make up probably about 80% of my market for board games, which is awesome, which I love. But when everything closed down up here and down there, it really kind of threw a wrench in my plans because my fulfillment warehouse was closed. So even though I could continue to sell things, I couldn't actually send anything out, which isn't kind of the experience I want any of my buyers to have. But outside of that, I have three small kids. Well, I guess they're not small anymore. They're 6, 9, and 10.
I'm at 7, 10, and 12. So
That's pretty close. Yeah. Same wavelength. Yeah, my 10 will be 11 in November, I guess, and my 6 will be 7 in September. I get bonus points for getting those right.
There you go. You get bonus points.
So they're home, and we're doing the homeschooling stuff and the digital learning, I guess, which has been good. The hardest thing for me has been the change to my gaming groups. So not only am I gaming with my children instead of my hardcore buddies, but I'm also doing game testing with them. You don't really get the same quality responses.
Feedback
that you kind of want.
Yeah, it was cool. That was cool.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Dad, what about if we put a booby trap in it? Well, it's a tile laying game, bud, so a booby trap wouldn't really work here. But do you think they could have swords? Who would have swords? There's nobody in the... I'll write
abstract
down swords.
Abstract strategy.
Good job.
I love it. Oh, that's so good.
It's changed a little bit, but then everyone's kind of had to pivot. So we've gone online. So I've got a good chunk of my catalog on Tabletopia, which has been good. So that's actually kind of neat because as much as I personally dislike playing board games online, I'm an extrovert. I'm super social, and I will take It will wait till I get out of this quarantine and I'm able to hug people again. It's going to be heartbreaking.
Oh, I know.
I can't wait.
Exactly, it's crazy. So I'd much rather sit at a table and look you in the eye and laugh and talk with you than do it all finicky online. But I mean, I respect what we're doing nationally and internationally, I should say, and the importance of what we're doing. So it has been neat to kind of catch up with friends, especially those board game friends that you really only see at conventions. So I've been gaming with them online, and that's been really nice.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Origins Online and some of these other events look like. When I first heard about them, I personally wasn't super excited about them for all the reasons you just said, but I have had some pretty sweet gaming experiences through digital means, and it gives me hope that maybe Origins Online will be something really fantastic, and that afterwards, when we're back to normal conventions and everything, I'm hoping that there'll be some really good things that we've learned and that we can improve on, and that we can have some digital options for everything moving forward. Why not have the both and solution?
And I agree. I think that's really good. And to be honest, I was very skeptical at first. I didn't think it was going to, a great idea. I didn't think it would really work, especially for me, a small company. I really thrive in that con atmosphere where I can interact with crowds, face to face, exactly. And I just was kind of like, really humming and hawing and not too keen on it. So I'm still planning on to, and I've always been planning to go on whatever you say. Online,
right?
But it really wasn't until there. I watched Ignacy's latest video when he talks about the importance of online cons in these current times. And he, I guess, he did his Portal Con in Poland a month or two ago, and he just has a pretty interesting talk about how the industry kind of needs to pay attention and step forward and step up to the current requirement. And I think you're both right. The idea that I wouldn't be surprised if there was some online carryover afterwards. Because realistically, not everybody can go to Spiel. And if you can get a little bit of Spiel online, like that's going to be huge for people to see, but also for us to sell. Like, so it should be a win-win.
Cool.
Yeah, I think the Gen Can't enthusiasm in the past proves that there's an audience of people who want to play games that week and want to be a part of something but just can't be there physically. So
exactly.
It'll be interesting to see how it goes.
My only kind of worry is the whole events and organizing, because I feel enough roping volunteers into helping me at a convention, but I feel so much worse when knowing what's on everybody's plate these days and then trying to like book time slots so-and-so can help me with this game at this time that they have to sit in
exact
and then
teach
people electronically. It's like, oh, goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy stuff.
But we'll see.
We've just been celebrating Memorial Day, as we mentioned. We've been doing some playing together for the first time, and it definitely was a sweet reunion. So
what did you play?
We played some Paranormal Detectives, which is hilarious, from Lucky Duck Games, yeah. And
War Chest.
Yeah, some other people got War Chest on the table.
War Chest is so good. Have you guys got the expansion for it?
I do have the expansion for it.
I don't have it yet. It's such a good game. I really enjoy War Chest.
It is.
I wish I could play it someday.
Yeah, that's the Kevin running joke. He never gets to play it.
It's so good.
Connor, I literally have never played it, and I probably will never be able to play it now because it's just this joke that just keeps going podcast to podcast. So
we really used to give him a seat at the table.
There's always either two people or four people, so that you're always
right. Never a third. Yeah.
Oh well. Well, we have you on the show to talk about your game coming to Kickstarter, the game City Builder Ancient World. I briefly was able to talk about it during our Kickstarter segment, but tell us a little bit about the game.
Yeah, so it's exciting. It's only the second game that Inside Up Games has signed that's not been one of my designs. It's designed by Andre Philippe out of Vancouver, Canada. I met him at Shucks last year. And during a speed dating event, and his was one of two or three maybe pitches that I saw that piqued my interest. So I set up a time to meet with him, and I was probably playing the game for maybe 5 minutes when I knew that I was going to be interested in it. And my business partner was there playing as well, and we both said, yeah, well, we're happy to take this back and test it. And everybody I have played with, and I'm sure most people think that, you know, publishers say this all the time, but I genuinely can say that everyone I've ever played this game with has enjoyed it. Andre did a really good job. He spent about 4 or 5 years developing the competitive game that he showed me. And then since then, I mentioned to him that I try to either have a larger player count for my games or different modes, like Summit, the competitive, cooperative, so on, solo. So he spent some time kind of trying to develop a cooperative mode to it. And him and I have spent the last 3 or 4 months, I guess, kind of ironing out the co-op mode. And I'm happy to say they both play really well, and they're individually and jointly getting a lot of love online. So I just realized I haven't done any sort of explanation of what the game is.
No, it's okay.
I'm very confused.
No, I briefly, earlier in our podcast, I mentioned briefly that it's a tile-laying game and all that kind of stuff. So
perfect, yeah. City-building game. You'll be laying tiles. The turn is very quick. Basically, lay a tile, draw a tile, pass it on. And once you've laid the tile, you are either hoping to welcome some settlers, either commoners or nobles, worth different amounts of points, off of shared tracks. So what makes the game interesting is there is a tug of war between you and a neighbor to your right and neighbor to your left, where you're each pulling from opposite ends of a track populated with people. The further you get down that track, the more points you can get for yourself, and the more points you're kind of taken away from that opponent. So it plays really fun. He's got it really tight. There's some monuments for some end game scoring. And then if you flip the tracks over and you play the cooperative mode, well, now you'll be doing a little bit of chip pulling from the bag to now load up a different type of track that you can't let fill up. And then you're working together trying to complete your cities while following an emperor's edict, which is kind of a game-changing rule like it's thrown in, as well as build some different types of monuments. And the communication is super high in it, so it's pretty fun.
I enjoyed playing it on Tabletopia. The art style, I dig. Really, Connor, I really like it. Who's the artist again?
The artist is actually a guy from my hometown named Andrew Dorland, who I met years ago when he submitted something for Vault Assault way back then. He's a super nice guy, and he's been dealing with all my picky requests, because the one thing I didn't take into account is that things look so much different on screen in Tabletopia than they do mm-hmm. in print. So he did some great stuff that I was using for a while, and then once it was all uploaded online, there was confusions because of colors and shadings and whatnot, so he did a bunch of tweaks. But it's a really nice, almost comic book-y feel to the style, vibrant with some kind of different color usage, and I'm really digging it. I'm kind of embracing And actually, this may, whether you want to cut this out or not, I'm not offended, but I was putting the box prototype together and I actually had this idea of creating a white border around all the sides, the front of the box and the sides of the box and all the panels to kind of separate it like that comic book feel. So I'll be interested to see what the backers think, because I think it's kind of, I haven't seen a box like that before.
Cool. Interesting. That sounds cool. Yeah, I like the color palette choice, and it is a unique style, so that's interesting. It should, you know, have a little bit of a shelf standout appeal.
And that's what I've, really what I've tried with all my games. And when I do a request for quote to the artist that submit to me, that's the one thing I say is that, like, I want something different. I want all my games to look different from everything out there, but also from each other, so that nothing kind of, so that I, you know, have this very diversified.
Box yourself in.
Yeah. So if someone walks by my, I mean, no one's going to be walking by my booth for a while, I guess, but
they're going to walk by it online.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it, right? So hopefully they can walk by it online, and if one game doesn't jump out at them, maybe a different one will.
Cool stuff. So now this is launching in real time, I think, tomorrow.
Yes.
So this will be
June 2nd, right?
That's right. So because this hits June 1st,
June
I guess?
1st.
Correct, yep.
Okay, so yeah.
So tell us a little bit. Yeah, tell us a little bit about what's going on with the campaign and what people can expect to see.
Yeah, so, I mean, this will be my 7th campaign, I guess, which is crazy to say. And each time I've learned and I've tried to refine. So we will be going live at 10 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow, June 2nd. And for the first 24 hours, like the last couple of campaigns of mine, anyone who backs for a copy of the game has the option of having their name box topped on all copies of the game. So all those day one backers get their name in there for free. I'm also going to do some not-for-retail components, basically a metal active player token, as well as an embroidered cloth bag that's kind of to incentivate, you know, backers for jumping in now because they won't be able to get it later. And I'm also going to be trying to offer a 25% decrease or sale, I should say, off of the MSRP. So enough that it kind of keeps some money in backers' pockets, but also doesn't anger all the retailers out there.
Right.
So what's the backer level at for the base game?
So the base game is going to be $30 US.
Wow, that's a steal, man.
Yeah, and that's the thing is the MSRP is probably going to be around 42. And that's before all the upgrades that I'm expecting to happen throughout the campaign. But even I was putting together the product shot tonight. I just have all the components, getting them organized. And I literally had that moment of, man, 30 seems too low. So we'll see. We'll see. I've already shared $30, so I can't change my mind now.
That's right. That's a good thing to hear. People will be excited. Go get a deal, y'all. That's
yeah, exactly.
There's a lot packed into that game for $30 with all the different modes and just the tiles themselves. The art is like top notch. So
yeah.
Sweet.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree.
Well, cool, man. Thank you so much for just jumping on the line with us for a little bit and giving us a peek at what you're working on. We will definitely hope to run into you, if that's a thing that can happen, at Origins Online and some of the other events this year. And we'll be looking forward to ways that we can connect and see some of your new sweet stuff in the future as well. But thanks for sharing with us. Tell us one more time where people can find your stuff online and everything else.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks so much for having me. Keep up the awesome content. You guys and the gang have been fantastic, so keep it up. Good luck on your Kickstarter, which is probably currently live. Make sure everyone is into this. Also check out their current Kickstarter for season 7.
Woo, man, yeah.
Season 7, yeah. Wow,
craziness. Although, you can leave this part in. I'm offended I wasn't asked to contribute anything to your packages.
Ah, so it's not too late.
I'll throw a Summit package or something in there. Summit, Yeti, and Teens.
Oh, that'd be great. Thanks, Connor.
No problem. But yeah, you can reach me on everything Inside Up Games. So that's on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and actually a YouTube channel that we've started as well, doing some silly news parody shows that I'm going to have to drop the second one tomorrow morning.
Oh, cool.
Check us out on, again, Kickstarter will be live June 2nd, starting at 10 a.m. and get in there on that day one bonus.
Cool stuff, man.
Bye. It was great having Connor on the show. I was, like I said, I was able to play a game of this on Tabletopia, and it looks pretty sweet. So check out the tile placement game City Builder Ancient World on Kickstarter.
So something I am super excited is our campaign is live on Kickstarter now.
Hey-o.
What? In real life, we are launching tomorrow morning.
It's still the anticipation.
No idea what it will be like at this point when you're listening.
Hopefully we've funded by now.
Hopefully.
But hopefully there's lots of still good stuff for you to go check out. We've got so many bundles, so many promos, so many cool mats and backpacks and bags and t-shirts and dice. And the thing that I'm actually most excited about is because this is going on, we are doing all kinds of fun stuff. So we've just done probably the live 12-hour thing. Mm-hmm. One of our stretch goals, we can talk about it now because you can see it, is actually a 24-hour game-a-thon.
What?
This was just warm-up. And we're going to go crazy and see if we can actually make it for 24 hours.
Wow.
I hope we raise the funds. I hope we get to play the games, I think. I'll know more how to weigh that after Friday's 12-hour-a-thon. But I think that could be a really fantastic experience. We'll be able to get just a couple more pieces of equipment, and then we should be able to, if we can survive it humanly.
We can physically do it.
Pull through.
We're going to have to bust out those party games. Laughing all constantly.
Ooh, 2 a.m. is going to be crazy.
No, 4 a.m. is going to be crazy.
If you didn't check out our Kickstarter campaign, we do, we've been saying, a lot of really cool promos. Silver, Cartographers, Letter Jam, Chronicles of Crime, Parks. We've got promos for games coming out later. Taiwan Tensuyu from Board and Dice, Toy Story. Ooh, Medium.
Yeah, Medium.
Yeah, the Genotype that you guys did earlier, mm-hmm. That's coming out soon. Suburbia, really cool promos.
There's some cool bundles, too. There's, a whole trekking bundle that has, trekking the world and the parks and a puzzle and some other stuff. I think we've got some cool things for Letter Jam. There's bundles from Renegade, a couple different bundles from Renegade, where it's, a two-player bundle with a couple of games and some other ones. Man, it is a packed page.
Yeah, I really like it. Looks cool.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Good job, Will.
Thank you for making all the connections and figuring out how to get all the pieces in there from all the different sponsors and donors. Very, very cool. It'll be interesting to see where this one takes us, especially with just everything going on in the world. But we've definitely had a lot of fun putting it together, working with the people that have been so generous to donate stuff to us. And we're really, really excited to be able to give some cool stuff to you guys as backers and to see where our channel goes this year. Even just with Jonah and Chantel jumping in a little more fully, getting a little more involved.
Yeah, there's a stretch goal for the Studio J, definitely.
I know. I got a little peek in there that we're... There's some stretch goals in there for us.
Stretch, everybody, stretch.
We're going to have to do a lot of stretching for this 24-hour. Maybe even me for that 12. I don't know. Sarah's going to have to pop out some coffee.
Yeah.
Well, there will be plenty of coffee. Well, man, I hope you guys had a great time listening in. I know that I had a really fantastic evening just chilling out with everybody tonight, being able to talk again face-to-face, and very much looking forward to seeing this Kickstarter wrap up. Thank you guys so much for backing us. We'll see you all later. Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.